how wonderful to be with this family on this beautiful day. Thank God for sun. This morning we're going to be focusing on Indiana Michigan Mennonite Conference. And when we did our survey a number of months ago, we learned that many of us do not really know what the conference does for us or what we do for the conference. So today, hopefully, some of those questions will be answered. One of the core principles for us as Anabaptists is that the community is the center of our life. We commit ourselves to following Christ, and we commit ourselves to each other in the community of faith when we are baptized. Our story as an Indiana Michigan Mennonite Conference is the story of congregations working together to follow Jesus faithfully. We are all called to respond to the love, forgiveness, and grace we have received. And we respond by loving and being in relationship with God, our neighbors, and our church family. This Indiana Michigan Mennonite Conference Sunday is a wonderful opportunity to strengthen our relationship with God and each other. So this morning we will be sharing with each other about what Indiana Michigan Mennonite Conference is, what it does, and how we have experienced it. We will see a short video, and we will enjoy watching a slideshow of many of the Mennonite congregations in our conference. And we will also be going back in history to hear from John F. Funk, one of our noted churchmen, and what his experiences with the church were. So now take your bulletins and join me in the call to worship. Together, we are the body of Christ, baptized in one spirit. We are members of one body, many and varied in gender, color, age, class, sexual orientation, and ability. We are all members of Christ's beautiful body. None of us can say to another, "I have no need of you." For only together can we find wholeness. None of us can say to another, "I will not care for you." For we are connected like muscle and bone. If one suffers, we all suffer. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. Thanks be to God, who in Christ has made us one. Let us worship God together.
So the praise singing this morning focuses on the church and the body as the body and gifts within the church. And we're going to just sing one song after the other without breaks in between. So I invite you to take the Sing the Journey and turn to page 72 and have that ready. It's going to be the last song, but that way we don't need to stop and do that. So just have that ready. And we're going to start with Many Gifts, only singing the refrain, and then go to another song, coming back to the refrain, another song, so you get the idea. So you're welcome to stand if you would like to.
Spirit gives us For over 100 years, Indiana Michigan Mennonite Conference has sought to be faithful in following Jesus as a community of congregations. We feel called to articulate a vision for this time that emphasizes centering on Jesus in our lives as individuals, congregations, and as a conference. We seek to find ways to do together what we cannot do alone. In this video, we feature four of those ways: spiritual practices, capital grants, search guides, and journey. Our vision encourages congregations to engage in a set of spiritual practices. Congregations learn from each other as they engage in different ways. Brian Byther of Shalom Mennonite Church reflects about that congregation's year-long introduction to spiritual practices.
When we consider why spiritual practices are important for us as a conference, the first thing that I would probably say is that we need to remember that they're not just important instrumentally as a means to something else, but they're important in and of themselves. Because ultimately, spiritual practices are really concrete forms of worship. I thought that the time of practicing spiritual disciplines with the conference for me was very rich. Even at another layer beyond just practicing them as a congregation. Conference is really a unique place where we have an opportunity to gather with other groups of Christians and to worship together and practice disciplines together in a way that we don't have those same opportunities just as even an individual church.
Some congregations rent space, others buy or build their facility. Indiana Michigan Mennonite Conference offers matching grants up to $50,000 to help with these capital expenses. The Marah Christian Church in Indianapolis, led by Pastor Chucky Kaimi, received a matching grant in 2017.
Now, Indiana Michigan Conference helped us $50,000 to the down payment. This is very helpful for us. The church is very close to our community, and we can worship not only Sunday morning, and we can worship Saturday night for special events for youth and women. And when we went to have a Bible study and some activity also, we can use here.
Indiana Michigan Mennonite Conference helps congregations in several ways when they are going through a pastoral transition. Search guides, like Suella Gerber and Bess and Will Fitzgerald, guide search committees through the pastoral search process.
One of the ways that people think about conference sometimes is it's the conference office or the people who are like officially being paid to do things on behalf of the conference churches. But conference really is the association of churches that come together for their common mission.
If congregations were turned facing conference, slowly conference structure is changing so that congregations are facing each other and looking at each other and working with each other. And so this is a really practical way and a practical structure that has congregations facing each other and turning to each other. Now, while a congregation doesn't say, "I want you for my search guide," they still go through the conference office. It's more of a mutual support.
Maybe it's the future of Mennonite churches in Michigan is to be not, 400 member churches with 3 staff people, but to be tough little churches that are sure of their faith and able to function in these rural places in a way that just really shines for Jesus.
Journey is a 3-year leadership development program that helps people test a call to ministry. Sean and Leandria Lang and Tyrone and Tantra Taylor all found Journey a good opportunity to grow as ministering people.
Our weekend learning event that we had at the Amigo Center Brother Mike Brudney, he did this illustration of a mime, and he had his face painted, and he walked around with his heart, and he began to tear the heart and hand it to each one of us. And that really impacted me in a way of illustrating to us that this was the same way that Jesus, in leaving heaven, coming to earth, he began to tear his heart away from the Father so that he would be able to deliver.
You know, we heard about the Lord working with everybody, but when you see it actually being done, it's on a different level. So I love the diversity of what Journey had brought to us. It opened up true doors that you can have this.
The bond that we made together as a class, as a mentor and mentee, we opened up our homes, we opened up our hearts to one another. We learned things from one another that probably couldn't learn for anywhere else unless it was for the Journey experience.
Go through the Journey program. Yes, it's a dedication for 3 years and time and commitment, but the experiences and the people you meet.
We are also waiting for part two of the Journey program.
Amen.
If it is such a thing.
Whenever we gather as a community of congregations, it is our hope that it is a time to share all that we have done in the name of Jesus, to encourage and equip one another. Whether it is spiritual practices, capital grants, search guides, Journey, we know that we are better able to serve our communities and the world when we connect with and commit to those who know and care whether we succeed. Indiana, Michigan, and Mennonite Conference is a community of congregations centered on Jesus, guided by the Holy Spirit, acting in grace, love, and peace, engaging the world God loves. If you want to find out more about what we do, you can check out our website at im.mennonite.net.
Mommy will hold it. Who would like to be next? Oh, Adelaida. Would you like to hold that? Okay. Who else would like to hold it? Christopher. Yeah. Unroll it a little bit so you don't have to. Yeah? Who else? Landry. All right. Who else?
Eli.
Eli? Yeah, throw it to him. There we go.
Are you resting? Yeah. Good. That's good. Yes. I think what we're going to do is, now, we're all connected because we go to Walnut Hill. If somebody lived in, like, northern Michigan, like Rick used to, you think they'd be connected? And what about somebody who lived in Indonesia? Or Malaysia?
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bring you our gifts, our offerings, our tithes, and we pray that you would multiply them according to the need in the world, and that you might use us to continue to meet that need as we sang a short while ago. May your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Amen. Thank you.
sanctuary here. Quite a bit different than the sanctuaries of my day. And these clothes, I asked the Reverend Jane Miller what I should wear this morning, and she suggested denim. I think I would have felt a lot more comfortable in my old plain coat, but... And can we talk about a woman pastor? Wow, I'm impressed. And this technology today, this thing, and having the words on the wall, pretty impressive. I guess I should introduce myself. My name is John F. Funk. You've probably never heard of me. A lot of people ask me what the F stands for. The F is for frets. That's actually what they used to call me when I was younger. But then my sister, she said, you know, frets sounds a lot like Fritz. She didn't want a brother called Fritz. So after that, I was pretty much John. You know, some things aren't so different, though. I see you there, the ones that rejoice in the opportunity to come and worship together in this community of faith believers. Your voices, both the good and not so good, rise together in song, in harmonies that began back when I was a preacher in Elkhart. Let me tell you a little bit about my story. I was born in Bucks County, Pennsylvania in 1835. I grew up in a Mennonite family, attending the Lyon-Lexington Old Mennonite Congregation. Even though it was a traditional Old Mennonite community, I thirsted for learning. The written words became my friends and my teachers. I was among the first to attend a Bible Academy for Teachers, Freeland Seminary. I attended a Sunday school run by local Baptist organizations, and I even taught there. I worshiped with other congregations, Dunkards and Episcopal, Reformed and Congregational. I even taught for 3 years after receiving my credentials. But then my sister called me away. You see, her husband ran a lumber company in Chicago and asked me to come and help him. We were successful, very successful, so much so that I started my own business, and I was well on my way to becoming a millionaire. During that time, I relished the opportunities the big city of Chicago gave to me. I attended lectures on topics such as temperance. I joined a debate society and worked for the abolitionist movement. Being in the city had its benefits, and the words were plentiful. I saw the church struggling with the response to the war between the states. I feared there was a movement away from Menno Simons' teachings on non-resistance. So it was during this time that I published my first booklet called Christianity and War. Words again. For many years, I felt the call to teach and connect Amish and Mennonites across the land as they migrated. Printed words had the power to do this. I purchased a small printing press and began producing two periodicals, The Herald of Truth and Herald der Wahrheit, in 1964, soon after I married my wife, Salome. You see, I was watching the Mennonite church around me dying. Around the Mennonites, other denominations were experiencing kind of a great awakening. Missionaries, Sunday school, evangelical meetings, they all grew and spread their message to many people. Christian colleges and seminaries began to open, enrolling more students who would then go on to teach and preach themselves. But the Mennonites resisted. Tradition, separation, and humility were so central to our faith that it was hard to understand these worldly things. We thought they were bad. It felt that we, the church, labeled things that we did not understand, did not like, as worldly, and therefore unacceptable to God. But I began to wonder what these things, these new things, if they could be a way to greater faithfulness, to living out the spirit of the gospel. In some ways, we were trapped by our separatist ways, unable to live out and share the pure, simple gospel message in the way of Menno Simons. I felt strongly that the words of the great teachers should be spread to all of our brothers and sisters in the languages of our first home. It's funny now, but there was a time when my brothers and sisters and I thought that God only spoke in German. I remember telling Salome one night that I love the souls of those who do not understand German more than I love the language itself. words again, words in both languages, in all languages, speak the gospel of truth. So both of these first publications were quite a success. At the end of our first year, we had over 1,000 subscribers. In time, I moved my family and my printing operations down the road to Elkhart, where I had connected strongly with Mennonites there and in Goshen, Topeka, and LaGrange. And the railroads in Elkhart gave me the means to print more materials for the Mennonite church. We printed copies of Martyr's Mirror to replace those that were destroyed by the war. We printed the complete works of Menno Simons. Though I was ordained to preach, that simple printing press became my biggest pulpit. I see you there, the brothers and sisters mired in conflict and sometimes too tired and angry to come back to this place. I know conflict. I watched it change people and change the church. People are people wherever and whenever they are, and they could not some people cannot accept change. My brother Jacob Weisler was one of those. It wasn't long after we came to Elkhart that he censured my friend Daniel for attending evangelistic meetings and then preaching the same way in his congregation. There were hostile words, and there were many hours spent on my knees in prayer. Finally, a council of 16 ministers were brought to render a solution, but it still did not bring peace. This particular conflict led to an eventual parting. Jacob and 100 others went away from the community and worshiped in their own way. I do not have the answers, only the advantage of hindsight. I can tell you that the departure of my brother Jacob did open doors, and we went on to do many great things in the Lord's name. Now hear me, I always believed that progress simply for the sake of progress was not in the best interest of the church. But rather, finding the way between the rigid tradition and unfettered newness is how to find new ways to strengthen our core beliefs, not to undermine them. This, of course, was not the only moment we disagreed. The conference rules and teachings on Sunday school were opposed to Sunday school. They thought that Sunday schools were a way in which the young, especially, were led away from the church and into the world. They didn't understand what I had experienced. Learning had opened my heart to the very core of our faith, to the gospel message. It took 20 years for the church to begin to accept this idea of teaching the congregation in this way. But it was very hard because the materials that were available were non-denominational or from other denominations. They were very nationalistic. They didn't talk about non-resistance, which was something that was difficult for us Mennonites. So I began to put together little books, one for primary classes, one for intermediate, and another for adult Bible classes. These Mennonite teaching materials paved the way with words that reached our members of all ages and at all places. I suppose our rather urban location here in Elkhart, compared to the rural locations of my childhood anyway, gave us some freedom to try things that we would have not otherwise been able to. You see, things don't just change. They change for a reason. We must not change just for the sake of change, but we must not resist change for the sake of resistance. Let's not be for what was, let's be for what is good and faithful to our God. The words that flew from my printing presses from Elkhart reached so much further than I ever thought they might. After a time, Mennonites in Russia were reading these words, and in experiencing their persecution in their own place, they began to come to us. Many of them came through Elkhart, and I would assist them in finding temporary lodging and supplies until they could find a permanent home. The ones I remember most clearly arrived mere hours after my 8-week-old daughter, Alice, died in my arms from a fever. It was deeply moving to work with these immigrants and fill my empty arms with food and blankets to allow them hope in my home. My business skills and organizational leadership were used often in the church. I lived to see many of the people I brought to Elkhart for the publishing company go on to do great things for the Lord. I was there for the first baby steps of a mission organization, and I heard God's call to see and hear the words of the oppressed and reach out to them in love and healing.
I see that there are still oppressed and silenced even today, and I ask you to see them, to reach out to them with more than words, to offer hope and healing to them. I cannot see the future any more than anyone else. The past should inform us, should be honored for what it was in its time. The present should be acknowledged. See what the vision and creativity of others has brought to us. We have more than we have ever had to work for the future of the kingdom. Money, technology, people. The future should be prepared for. May we continue to circle the globe in the light of Jesus Christ. And so I feel with these teachings and experiences that the Lord has been good unto me, and I cannot refrain from expressing my trust and confidence in the Almighty God in the words of the poet who says, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Amen.
Hechos 16, del 11 al 15. Zarpando de Troas, navegamos directamente a Samotracia y al día siguiente a Neápolis. De ahí fuimos a Filipos, que es una colonia romana y la ciudad principal de ese distrito de Macedonia. En esa ciudad nos quedamos varios días. El sábado salimos a las afueras de la ciudad y fuimos por la orilla del río, donde esperábamos encontrar un lugar de oración. Nos sentamos y nos pusimos a conversar con las mujeres que se habían reunido. Una de ellas, que se llamaba Lidia, adoraba a Dios. Era de la ciudad de Tiatira y vendía telas de púrpura. Mientras escuchaba, el Señor le abrió el corazón para que respondiera al mensaje de Pablo. Cuando fue bautizada con sus familias, nos hizo la siguiente invitación: "Si ustedes me consideran creyente en el Señor, vengan a hospedarse en mi casa." Y nos persuadió.
Acts 16:11-15. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace. The following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river where we supposed there was a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us.
If you turn to number 64 in your green books, number 64. We are the body of Christ, somos el cuerpo de Cristo, as we reflect on how we are part of the Indiana-Michigan Conference body.